Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them at 4191A Manchester Avenue in the heart of the Grove, right between the demo and the ready room. Come down Friday, they have an all new music happy hour going on. They've got a live vinyl spinning of all new music. You can come down and pick up the brand new Foo Fighters EP, Rah Rah Riot, Yacht, Wolf Mother, Thundercat, Animal Collective, and Lake Street Drive. So if you want to grab one of those, come down and get yourself a copy. They always have their local music selection there. Tons of great CDs, vinyl, and tape from your favorite locals. And always live in-store performances on Saturdays. To see more information about those and everything else, you can go to their Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, musicrecordshop.com.
Hey, what's up? It's Cornbread. You're listening to the Rock Paper Podcast with your homeboy, Shane Presley. Playa! Playa!
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from the powerhouse at Union Station, hanging out at 105.7 The Point with Cornbread. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Dude, that was a gigantic intro, man.
Yeah.
Just saying powerhouse.
Yeah.
Powerful, right?
Oh yeah, felt good, man. I'm getting ready to go on the air here with Cornbread here on the Sunday Night Local Show. Very excited about the opportunity being invited down here, but I figured take a minute to get to know you a little better. You've been on the show once before with Brooke Royal. We hung out and talked all about the band and Ink Spot Block Party over
sure.
the summer and stuff. And I thought it'd be cool to kind of get to know you a little bit better and talk to you about local music. I mean, it's what's all about this. You know, that's what. The show's all about, and it's I figure who knows more about local music than a guy who's got his whole show dedicated to it. And
well, I don't know it all.
Well,
but I've been around and I've seen it go up, yeah. I've seen it go down, and we're in a fun roller coaster ride right now. You know,
yeah.
I think it's a real neat time for the scene.
For sure, and I talk about it a lot, man. It's just super exciting times for me, like as a fan and as somebody that's involved into it now with this show, and I'm constantly meeting new people making music in this town, and there's some serious players and some just great bands coming out of town, and it's just cool to see. It's a lot of people are working together and creating cool stuff, and from the music to the shows to the videos, and there's a lot of people, artists and entertainers working together, and it's all seems to be working.
Honestly, I think the biggest thing for the scene itself, because I mean, there for a while I kept hearing, oh, the scene sucks, but blah blah blah, but I'm sitting here thinking, man, I don't know how our scene could suck when we have these amazing bands in our scene,
right.
You know what I mean? But the problem is, in my eyes, I look at it and go, honestly, if they really think the scene sucks, that sucks. But really, I think the deal is, there's scenes within scenes, and if you think about that, look at all the clubs that used to be around and how it used to be driven. Like, Pops was known for rock bands, the old Creepy Crawl, metalist, metal-type bands. Well, when all that kind of blew up, and it's like no one really knew where to go, and it all just became the one club, but with that being said, there was a scene within the scene. So each club had a scene, and those scenes were huge.
Mm-hmm.
Now people just don't know. Bands stop working together to create a big show. You know what I mean? Like, even back in the Mississippi Nights days, there used to be gigantic shows go on, and everyone, Mississippi Nights is gone, that's why. I don't think that's why the scene mm-hmm. is where it is, because that club's gone. Bands have to work for it,
yeah.
And you have to work together. And you work together, you could create some really cool stuff.
Definitely.
And I think that bands are starting to see that now. Just judging, going out to some of the shows that I've been to within the past month, and I'm like, I'm seeing old faces,
mm-hmm.
which is awesome. Bands grow up. They get houses, cars, wives, kids. And, you know, that changes the life of a lot of things. I mean, I don't go to as many shows as I want to go because, you know, I have a family I have to focus on. It's real neat. Right now is a real neat time. I think you're gonna see a change, and I think it's already happening. I think bands are going, hey man, if we support each other and we start putting these shows on to support each other's band, it's gonna make it massive.
Yeah, the topics come up a lot, and but it bears repeating. It's like there's a lot of us that are coming together, and we're noticing a difference. And like, you go down to Pops, and or I was at the Hushless show Friday night. And in that show alone, there was guys of Nimical Drive, Skyburnt White, Facing Infamy, My Legacy, My Ghost. I mean, all kinds of bands were represented in the crowd to support all the guys on stage. And it was just really cool, you know, to see that sense of community and among our rock scene and St. Louis music as a whole.
That's the same thing that's been happening at Pops. You know, I mean, I saw the dudes from Copperview out at the Session 2 finals for Point Fest, and I was like, this is awesome. Now, could this mean Copperview's coming back? I didn't ask.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just like to make up rumors. Oh, yeah, they're coming back, just like Modern Day Zero. They're going to play a show.
Yeah. I would love that show. Get Copperview and Modern Day Zero together on a bill, on a reunion show. That'd be a good time. I wanted to kind of get how you got started doing all this, and where you come about working here at the Point and stuff. And
wow, really, to be honest, I've never went to broadcast school. I was a huge fan of the Point, but I was a really big fan of Donnie Fandango when he was a night guy. He had this gigantic intro, and I was like, oh, my God, I got to meet that dude. So I ended up meeting him over at the Oz when he did the Sunday Night Ritual, and we just kind of became friends. At first, I don't think he liked me, but eventually he ended up liking me.
Yeah.
And so we became friends, and then I became his intern, and I worked really hard and landed a weekend gig. And let's see here. That was probably late 99, early 2000 that I got hired, and I've been here ever since. But I think I did leave for like 9 months, and it wasn't because I was pregnant or anything, but I think I just had to like find myself because I was doing a full-time job.
Yeah.
And this was before family, before me trying to even be in a band, but I just needed to find myself as a person. So then I ended up coming back and doing more weekends, and then got hired full-time, and then I had to get let go in 2008. Which then I came back to do the local show still. But I think I've been doing the local show for every bit of 12 years, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
So, which is a really, really, really super long time.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I feel like I've only been doing my show like closing in on 2 years almost. May will be 2 years, and it's like, but I feel like I've already, you know, doing this a long time, but it's like, man, 12 years, like, imagine doing this show for 12 years. It's be quite the feat, man. That's huge.
I've seen some really cool bands come and go.
Yeah.
It's been a bummer, you know? But right now, I think it's really cool watching these bands. It's so different. The music scene and the music industry itself is so different that it's just a crazy ride for me.
Yeah.
It's like sitting back watching it. Because sometimes I go, man, I wouldn't do that as a band. But then I go, well, you know what? How would I know?
Yeah.
Because it's 2016. I don't know if that's right or wrong. What is right or wrong?
Yeah.
The only thing I do know that's right is if they all stick together and push each other, it will work.
Right.
I know that for a fact.
Yeah. I agree, man. I'm like, I don't know if it's the right way I'm doing this, but it's the way I'm doing it. And I'm trying to just learn as I go and try to, you know, make something happen. But I think it's all in, you know, taking a chance, man, taking a risk. You know, it's like, if it might be the wrong, but we'll find out on our own at least. But we're having fun doing it.
You know, the day it stops being fun is the day I'm finished with it.
Sure.
I still really enjoy listening to new music. I really still enjoy going to watch new bands.
Yeah, man.
But the day that's not fun for me anymore, I think that's the day I call it quits.
Sure.
You know, I'm always nervous too, though, that this may come to an end without me you know, wanting it to. Yeah. So that's why I try to push hard and go, you know what, I'm going to try to make every show that I can the best show, or I do it as it might be my last show.
Yeah.
Sad to say, but you never know.
You're right. Yeah. So what, who was your, like, your favorite, or one of your, like, proudest moments, for the show, like, getting, guest interviews or, you know, I know you bring a lot of guests in here in the studio to hang out and stuff. Do you have a particular moment that comes to mind or any?
I think, if I could be wrong, but I believe my first live interview and acoustic performance in the studio was with a band called Switch 3. And they came down to the studio. We went across the parking lot and had a drink or two. I think it might have been prior to the show, because that's the first time I ever met the guys. And they were like, hey, man, Zambuca shot. And I was like, I'm not a shot guy, but I took it anyway. Dear Lord, the worst shot I've ever had in my entire life. But that was the best acoustic performance I've ever witnessed in the studio. I was like, oh, my God, they were so good. I remember the drummer made his he didn't have an egg shaker or anything, so he took rice and put it in. He dumped out one of his things at the house and made his own shaker.
That's
nice. It was really cool. I actually still have the song to this day.
Yeah?
Yeah. So that was probably one of the most exciting times. That and I used to have 360 Smile stop by. Man, those dudes were always, always good. And a fun band to interview. And I remember meeting them at the door for the first time, and the bass player dressed as a Christmas tree, and that was Ludo.
Yeah.
I've never interviewed a Christmas tree before, but my God, Ludo made it happen.
Yeah. I've not talked to Ludo yet as a full band or anything, but I got to hang with Tim Convey, who played with them, and he's been doing a lot of comedy stuff now, and actually he's like writing on Nikki Glaser's new show on Comedy Central.
Really?
And stuff. So it was really exciting for me just to talk a little about Ludo and what he's been up to now with comedy. But yeah, I know you've had some of my buddies, like I'm good friends with Exit 714.
Sure.
And Hollow Point Heroes.
Absolutely. Man, those dudes have been pounding the pavement for many years.
Yeah.
That's another exciting thing, too, to look at these bands that have been doing it for a really long time. And I sit there and go, man, I can't believe they still have the power to just truck along, you know? I mean, it takes a lot.
Yeah.
People don't understand how much it actually takes a toll on the, you know, a band or an individual, you know? And I believe some of them have family, you know
sure,
what I mean? Like kids.
Oh,
And, you know, so that makes it. That makes it even more tough. And then you try to date five best friends because, I mean, you know, you're in a band. So, I mean, it's like having five girlfriends.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's, yeah, you got to, sometimes that might be overlooked, but it's like, you know, as a fan, but, yeah, you got to thank the wives and girlfriends that put up with, you know, all the hours that they put in practice and shows and everything else. So they have to take that sacrifice and stuff, too, to make it all work, you know. But yeah, it's I went to school with those guys, so I've known guys for a long time, and it's exciting to watch the success that they've had doing this. And I think you're gonna Skyburn White's coming on next week or something. I think
they are coming in. It's either next week or the week after.
Yeah.
Do they have a show coming up that they want to talk about?
Yeah, I'm doing a music video too. So
that's those dudes rule.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean. The nicest dudes I've ever met in my entire life. But I say that, but not like this because they're like my favorite people. But now that I say that, there's a ton of nice dudes.
Sure, yeah. I think that's what's you know, got these guys as far as they have is you know. I think if you're a dick, you know, the people are just not gonna be as supportive. You know, it helps being a nice guy and having the talents you have, and people are more likely to support you and things. So it goes a long way, just being nice and being friendly to people. So I'm sure that's why you've gotten as far as you have too. You know, you're just a nice guy to hang out with. So
you know, honestly, man, you know how many times I've been a dick.
Yeah,
and not purposely being a dick. It's just people say that I am. I'm not one of those guys that's going to run up and be like, hey, I'm cornbread. Oh, this yeah. is what that's not me.
Sure.
That's not the way it is. So sometimes if I'm in a situation and I really don't know anyone, I stay quiet.
Yeah.
How many times have you seen me probably out and I just stay real quiet?
Sure.
I just don't say much because I don't want to be that guy. I'm not that guy.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times I see, like, I used to see, you know, when you guys were broadcasting from Pops and things, you know, you'd be working too. So
sure.
a lot of people don't take into consideration, like, you're not just here hanging out, having, you know, as a fan or partying or whatever. You're actually, you know, working, and you have to be responsible.
Well, you know, I mean, I can mix both.
Sure, yeah.
You know what I mean? Party fun. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, that's why I love this job.
Right.
To be quite honest, it's like this is the best job. And when I did it full time, this was the best job I've ever had in my entire life. And it actually spoiled me for 2 years. And just thank God it didn't go to my head because reality had to come back. And yes, I do cable TV. I do cable construction. You know what I mean? So here I am, climbing telephone poles and drilling holes in them.
Right.
And running big cables and fibers and whatever. How fun is that, right?
Yeah.
I just took the fun out of earlier. Everybody probably thinks I'm rich. I'm poor.
A little behind the curtain.
Yeah. I'm a real dude. I'm a realist, you know?
Sure, man. I have three jobs, and I do the podcast, and I try to, you know, balance time with my wife and everything, keep it all working, but it's, you know, it's all part of the effort, you know?
Three jobs?
Yeah. Well, the two are, you know, part-time stuff, but I, you know, I do my 40-plus at my day job. I work, I ref basketball youth sports. I work now at Broadway Oyster Bar, working the door down there two nights a week. So,
oh, nice.
Which is really exciting for me, man. It's a great place to listen to live music.
I was going to say, you took that job just for the music, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great excuse to get to listen to music and get paid. And then, it's an awesome networking. You meet all kinds of people coming through there. You know, it's just a fun atmosphere. So, that's where I would like to be. I would love to have a venue similar to something like Broadway Oyster Bar or something in a sense. So it's a good kind of look into the inner workings of a great, you know, venue. So I hope to learn something along the way and be able to get to that point where someday I can have something like that. So
now, does this make me a bad person? I've never been to the Broadway Oyster Bar.
Well, I mean, that's not. I don't think it makes you a bad person. It's just... that's the thing. It's like a totally different scene over there. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, funk and blues-based stuff. And, you know, it's just like, so they have their own little, you know, click kind of thing going on over there. A lot of reggae, jam band kind of stuff going on. And
see, so, that's that whole scene within a scene
sure,
I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You take that away and you try to throw a couple rock or heavy metal bands in here, kind of messes it up.
Yeah.
But if they work together, it will stay working. The wheel will keep spinning.
Sure.
You know, so
yeah, they it's an awesome spot. I mean, they 7 days a week they do live music, so it's hard to find that. And I think you know, recently we've had some clubs close, you know, with you know, just around town. There's a couple of spots that, you know, it's like, I don't know. I look at it and I say, well, you know, is there live music going on there all the time, and is it consistent? Because I think that's the key to keeping something going, you know, and being successful at it, because, you know, just having great live music all the time. So
I agree.
Yeah, man. So do you have any advice for somebody that would be wanting to get into this at all? I mean, you obviously said you didn't go to broadcasting school and stuff, but I mean,
I mean, times have changed too for this industry. You know, I mean, having that piece of paper that says you're, you know, a graduate of college is definitely a plus, and I'm sure it probably has rendered me in more ways than I probably know. But I mean, my thing is, like, if you really believe in something and you believe that's what you're supposed to do, and you work hard enough and network hard enough, you will get what you want.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just got to be patient. Patient is everything. I didn't get this job right away.
Right.
It was almost 2 years of interning, absolutely free, you know, doing dumb things and doing cool things. but I believed that that's something that I wanted to do, and I just wanted to give it a shot. And I think that the whole reason I disappeared for like that whole 9 months was for me, because like once I did get it, I think I just went into a kind of a culture shock. It's like, okay, I got a full-time gig, I'm working overnight, weekends at the point, holy crap, this is happening to me. I made it, but I was already fatigued because I exhausted myself with so much energy, and then once I got it, I didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
And so, and I'm kind of glad that I took that step back and then came back with it with a different approach, you know, because I don't know where I would have been, and thank God that I guess I was smart enough to keep good contact with everybody. I wasn't a person to burn a bridge kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. So. I listen to I bring it up a lot, but I listen to a lot of Howard Stern show, and I remember hearing on the show, like, he had a guy, an intern on his show, and like it was like his sole job to make sure to bring Howard his baked potato for lunch every day, or his I guess it was his lunch, but so anyway, just, and he would always you know, he's just that was his whole thing. He had to make sure to get the baked potato right. You know, they had a obviously, Howard's a little, you know, neurotic with some of his things, so I'm sure it, you know, put that guy through hell if he ever messed up his baked potato and stuff. But do you have a memory of anything like that, like of something crazy you had to do with
it? I didn't have to do any baked potatoes.
Yeah.
I mean, I made food runs.
Yeah.
And I remember right before Jeff, Trish, and Tom, the Jeff, Trish, and Tom show, they needed an intern to stand on, where was I? 44 in Hampton. There's that overpass there, and there's a bus stop. They had me stand there in a Speedo with a honk. Honk if you love Jeff, Trish, and Tom or something like that.
Sure.
And then, yeah, that's probably one of my most embarrassing moments. But right. I did it, you know. I mean, they asked me to do it. I did it.
All right.
I believe funny. I even got on a bi-state bus and sing and got kicked off. They were going to call the police and have me locked up. But
for singing?
Well, I probably shouldn't have been on the bus when, you know, but I was rendering her bus stops or whatever she was saying.
And you were in a Speedo?
Yeah, I was having a good time. It was a great time. I would imagine there's some pictures somewhere. I mean,
sure.
I don't think I would be too proud of them.
Yeah, man. So, I mean, being here at the point, there's always, you know, somebody stopping by, some, you know, great big actor or something. You ever been starstruck over here at all? Meet somebody coming through?
Man, I got to be honest. I was a huge Green Day fan, you know, growing up. And I think, because, like, there was that one point in my life where I go, oh, my God, I like music. And I think that was when Green Day was, you know, Dookie came out, Weezer, Nirvana, all those bands were just hitting all over MTV. I just remember that, and Blink-182 was starting to pop too, and I was like, oh my God, there's something about this. So, but long story short, I got to hang out with Travis Barker, which was awesome because he's always been like an idol for me.
Yeah.
I didn't know that in the very beginning because I was like, I'm never going to play music, but like I would talk about music. That would be great. But then I tried to play drums and I idolized him. But I also like Trey Cool from Green Day because I think that dude's talented as crap. You know what I mean? Like he doesn't get a whole lot of – Trey Cool's good. You know what I mean?
Sure.
No, he's badass. But bringing Green Day on at the pageant, probably one of the most exciting things of my radio career.
Yeah.
Just because it was like that surreal moment. It was like, oh my God, they're the whole reason that I even really fell into this whole music thing. And here I am getting ready to bring them on in front of a sold-out crowd. And that was the first show and the last show that I ever saw crowd surfed. Never done that in my entire life.
Yeah.
And I did it three times.
Nice.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Until I made somebody mad.
All right, buddy. Well, we better get out of here so we can get to, you know, pay some bills here at the point and get on the radio and get this show going. So I thank you for doing this, man, and it's been awesome. It's been a lot of fun.
Not a problem, man. I appreciate what you're doing. That's why I'm having you in here.
Yeah.
Because what people don't understand is you're doing this absolutely free out of your time.
Well,
I get it, man.
I'm hoping someday not to do it, you know. hoping to get paid doing it. But I love it, man. I believe in this scene. I believe in this town, and I'm just doing what I can to make a difference. So, thank you for.
Not a problem. You want to go showtime? I'm still show prepping. I feel absolutely horrible this whole time. I'm still loading things in the computer here.
We gotta stay on a schedule here. So, listen to Cornbread Sunday evenings, 105.7 The Point, 9 p.m. Call in and tell them what you want to hear, some your favorite local music. All right. Thanks, brother.
All right, buddy. Yes, indeed. It is the Sunday Night Local Show. A little special edition. Valentine's Day. That's right. What up? My name is Cornbread. For the next hour, it's you, me, all local music. And if you find yourself being a fan of Rock Paper Podcast, good friend of mine, Shane Presley, in studio. What up, buddy?
Hey, man. Thanks for having me out here.
Problem, man. Here's the deal. You do a lot of interviews, right? So I'm going to flip it on you. I'm going to interview you in just a few minutes. But we got to play music. We're going to kick off the local show. Oh, shoot. I almost forgot. I will also be announcing the winner from this past Friday's Road to Point Fest. So if you're over at Pops, stick around for that. But now we kick off the local show with the band you could see at the demo on the 24th. So mark your calendars, man. This band rules. They're called Optimus Rex. Song is called Change of Stripes. It's still local show on 105.7 The Point.
Boom.
I get a ton of requests for that. Rebel, the song is called The Victim, the local show, 105.7 The Point, everything alternative. What's going on? It is Cornbread joining in the studio with a good friend of mine from Rock Paper Podcast, Shane Presley. What up, playa?
Hey, man. Thanks for having me over. This is very exciting.
So it's been a long time, man. I've known you for a couple years now.
Sure.
And you've been trying to get me on your podcast, and I'm like, yeah, man, we'll make it happen. We'll make it happen. But I always have some weird thing pop up in my life. You know,
Definitely, man.
Unfortunately, I found out that I actually sometimes I'm really busy.
Yeah.
How does that happen? This whole life thing, man. Sucks growing up.
Being an adult.
is that what it is, being an adult? But here, real quick, before we jump into our interview, because I want to interview you, because you interview all these local bands, you know, I want to know something about Shane. But before that, Friday night over at Pops, we did the Road to Point Fest, and I've got to announce the winners for that that battle that took place. Man, and I'm telling you, the last two shows have just been insane with the music talent. It was tough for these judges. I walked in the room, and they were just bouncing their heads off. It's like, I don't even know what to do. So here's the deal. If you were at that show on Friday night, thank you very much for coming out supporting local music. But two bands get to move on from that night. So if you're in the band called Better in Theory, congratulations to you, and Mental Fixation. There you go. Those are the two bands, Better in Theory and Mental Fixation. You're moving on to your next round. And you weren't over at that show because you actually went over to the Hushlist CD release show, right?
Yeah. Hushlist, Odom, Maiden Waves, and drawing a blank already. Who else was on that? Anyway.
Review. How did it go?
New Lingo. Yeah,
New Lingo.
I'm wearing their shirt. it was excellent, man. Great turnout. It was pretty solid, for being, 10 degrees outside. It was a nice crowd in there. All the bands sounded really good. And it was fun. I had a good time.
That new record the Hushlist.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. I haven't got to listen to the full record yet, but the stuff I've heard and then obviously live Friday night, man, they killed it, though. They sounded awesome. For the Birds is one that I really – it's more of like a stripped-down acoustic vibe to it, and it's just it's a beautiful song.
That's the one you went home humming, right?
Yeah, definitely. It's I don't know. Just something about the song I really like a lot. So
the show was good.
Yeah, great show. Very cool. And it was like I said, it was cool to see so many other bands represented out in the audience. I saw guys from Cabo and Inimical Drive and Facing Infamy and My Legacy, My Ghost, Skyburnt White, and just so many familiar faces. And that's what's really cool about what we got going on right now in our St. Louis music scene, is just a lot of people are supporting each other, and it's
There is a revive happening. I could feel it happening. I could feel these bands are finally, you know, like, man, we got to get back together and do our thing. You know what I mean? It's kind of been a weird situation for quite some time with the music scene. And it happens, though. And it's like a roller. I've been doing it for, you know, at least 12 years, but it's a roller coaster ride. Yeah. And these last couple of years have definitely been something weird going on. But I don't think that the right words to use is the local music scene sucks, and I've heard that so many times that it made me want to vomit. You know what I mean? It's like, no, I don't, man. We have some killer bands in St. Louis.
Yeah. I mean, that's really what pushed me to do what I've been doing. I try to, I try to do it weekly now more, but a Friday night and Saturday nights, that's when the big nights are for entertainment. But I put out a list of shows that I would go to, or, you know, all of them going in town. I try to make as many as I can, but one night I put out like 35 shows on a Friday night. And I'm like, people always say there's nothing to do in this town. I'm like, here it is. You know, go find something to, you know.
Absolutely. So Shane Presley of Rock Paper Podcast. The reason I'm having you in here, man, because, you know, I can't be the only supporter of the local music scene, and I definitely know I'm not. But man, I know I see you down there beating the pavement and going to these shows, and I'm like, what intrigued you to jump into this, man? To do this absolutely free of, it's just all your time. You devote all your time and your heart to it. Why?
They're all buddies of mine. I started, you know, following a bunch of my friends, high school friends, you know, started getting involved in playing original music out of pops and things. And I just always loved the music, and I started going down there, and I just meet more and more people. And then kind of got to a point, I started writing a local music blog, doing album review stuff, actually reviewed the last Brook Royal record on there and stuff, and that one was pretty cool. You know, so I started getting a little traction with that, and I kind of got burned out a little bit writing, and I always wanted to let the music speak for itself. I always felt like I had never enough words to kind of describe what the music meant to me.
Sure.
So I was like, I'd rather people just listen. So I started kind of doing more of the audio version, and I wanted to get these, like, kind of casual conversations and hangouts with these bands and these artists, and then put a track on or have them play live, and just let the music talk, and that's it all started down at Pops, pretty much, man.
Something interesting about Shane that you probably don't know, I can't have every local band in here. I wish I could. I just don't. Mm-hmm. We just don't have the time to cram it in here. But you actually pick up your equipment and go wherever it takes for the interview to happen. You just told me you did an interview in a van.
Yeah. A couple weeks ago, I recorded a pirate signal in a minivan. I've done two of them in Taco Bells. I did one in a mall food court.
When you came over to the Limp to do the Brook Royal one.
Yeah, that was fun too. I've done two of them. That's actually the pirate signal one that I did in the minivan. They rehearsed there at Limp. It was way too loud in there that day. Everybody was jamming right there at the time. So we were like, well, what are we going to do? We thought about taking it somewhere else. And I was like, well, somebody had a converter. We plugged into the van, and it worked out perfectly, man. It sounded really good, actually, for, you know, the situation. But I kind of like it. It's part of the show, I feel like, wherever I'm recording that week. It's exciting to kind of be mobile like that. And keeps it fresh.
So where are you going from here? I mean, as far as the podcast goes, what's the growth?
I don't know. I mean, there's lots of opportunities. I'm hoping to just continue to bring in some great guests and keep pushing it farther. I'm under the mentality that, you know, it doesn't hurt to ask. All I can do is say no. So I've been throwing invites out there to all kinds of big heavy hitters and hoping to build it. And my goal is if I can get a Story of the Year or Greek Fire or, you know, some big groups in our, you know, town, and it's, get them on the show and people listen, it's only going to shine a light on the rest of them. So
if I was in a band, I go, man, you know what? I want to be on Rock Paper Podcasts. How am I contacting Shane?
You can reach me through my website, rockpaperpodcast.com. Find the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and rockpaperpodcast.gmail. You can email me. So
that's cool. Do it up. Now, these guys right here, they've been on your show, and they're also going to be at Pops next Friday night for the Road to Point Fest. Full details at popsrocks.com. They're called Apollo's Daughter. The song, Kurt Russell's Muscles.
Oh, yeah.
As I flex. Still local show on 105.7 to Point.
Yeah, man, that's a good one.
Love that band, Clock Eyes. Or actually, it's Clockwork. Lock Eyes, the local show, 105.7 The Point, everything alternative. You know what that was? A radio fail.
Yeah.
Right there, just did it for you. See, you in your job there with your podcast there, Shane, you could just hit the delete button.
Right.
I have no delete. It just went right there, Clockwork, Lock Eyes. Hey. Now I got it.
It happens, man.
If you just tuned in, Shane Presley of Rock Paper Podcast, I invited him in because he's doing a great thing for the local scene. You know what I mean? It takes all of us to make this thing happen. And, man, dude, you've got some bands behind you.
Yeah. Clockwork's been on the show twice. So if you like that song and you want to hear more about those guys, you can go on.
Have they performed for you?
Yeah, we actually did one. It was like in ballpark kind of thing over in where they live at, and we kind of sat in this pavilion area and we recorded out there, and we were all getting bit up by mosquitoes and stuff. But they did Long Way Down on the show, and it was really
those
cool.
Those dudes are talented. Yeah. I remember them being little kids in the battle over there at Pops, man. And then all of a sudden, I think they even changed the band name or whatnot. But I was like, oh my god, they went from kids to where did they come from? You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy what a couple years will do for you. Yeah. And they were young.
Yeah, I mean, I remember those in the battle bands, and they had their Out to Sea, and I remember talking to them. Yeah, and I was just like, there's something here. But yeah, now their new record is just like incredible, and I'm like, these guys are going places for sure. Like they're super nice guys. That's the best part about it. You want to root for them because they're such great guys.
Genuine dudes, and they work hard, man. They do some goofy stuff too, like going to the mall and playing and singing and getting kicked out. And
yeah, I think they sing in like 30 or something Starbucks or something, you know, whatever. Like every Starbucks in St. Louis area, like they hit like a mall in one day trying to plug their song and stuff. And
bands don't do that anymore, man. You know what I'm saying? So what's next on the rock? Paper podcast for you.
We got a couple of cool guests lined up. I got and so my show. I love rock and roll. I love rock music. A lot of great rock bands out of St. Louis here on the show. But I also there's very eclectic blend of music and comedy. So I have a lot of various guests from all over the place. But I got some things scheduled with Common Jones, Ilphonics. I got guys, Media Outlaws. I do a YouTube series called The Loft Sessions. So all kinds of things coming up. Dave Chapman of Skyburn White. I just recorded one with him the other day. I used to be in Good Time Engineers. And
what a great band. Yeah. Man. Actually, both of those bands you just mentioned. Awesome.
Yeah, it was a really cool hang, man. It's and he did a little sneak peek. He did a little... I know it as Big Brown Beaver from Primus on there.
So is that on your podcast?
Yeah,
so
live recording of it. Yeah, it was really cool.
That'd be something to scope out.
Yeah.
There you go. Check it out. It is rockpaperpodcast.com. If you want to get a hold of Shane, it's rockpaperpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's my email.
Is that you?
Yep.
Look at that. I just sold it for you.
There you go, man. Thank you.
You down with that?
Yeah.
Dude, I appreciate what you do for the scene, man. And I know a lot of bands are rooting for you, too, because you are a rooter for the bands.
Oh, thanks, man.
I know that you want these guys to come in. At least one time. Repeat, repeat. Song is called Chemical Reaction. It's the local show on 105.7 The Point. Everything alternative. Enjoy.
Yeah, hopefully I can make that happen.
7, 8. Yep, we're done with that. I'm just going to got to go delete. Particles of Lit, that is the Hunger Games, local show, 105.7 The Point, everything alternative. What up? It is Cornbread hanging out with Shane Presley of Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey,
play
man.
It, play it, in the studio. And you get your Fred Durst look going on, bro.
Oh, yeah. I just watched Deadpool earlier today, man, and when he says something, there's a line in the movie, he says, I'm going to do to you what Limp Bizkit did to music in the early 90s. And I was like, it was just funny hearing a Limp Bizkit reference in the movie. But
so what's the next show you're going to?
Friday the 19th, I'm going to head over to Pops and see my friends Apollo's daughter down there.
Oh, right on. Yeah, so, for the Road to Point Fest.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think I got an email saying that Point Fest was being announced this Tuesday. Did you get that?
Oh, no, I haven't got that. But
maybe I just made that up, and if I did, I'm sorry.
I know it's we're getting about that time.
No, now. It's coming. Yeah. It's really close. So, I mean, and bands are probably going to be like, oh, man, I got to get on the bandwagon. PopsRocks.com is where you're going to find all the details for that upcoming show on the 19th with Apollo's Daughter. Also, if you're wanting to play a show over at Pops, you could simply contact them at PopsRocks.com. I'm going to be now actually posting on my Facebook page here soon the playlist of tonight, mm-hmm. of course, because I do that every weekend.
Right.
So if you're interested in see what I played, tune in or jump onto Facebook. And if you're looking for me on there, it's Cornbread 105.7 a point. And then the Particles of Lip Band we just played. I guarantee you somebody's going, man, is that a Fivefold song, man? I mean, I never heard that one. It's actually Ryan Cheney of Fivefold, but that's not Fivefold.
Right.
Because you know it's going to happen, man. There's somebody's going to hit me up like, I swear to God, you played Fivefold. I don't see it on here, so... But, yeah, that's what it is. It's a little side project thing that he sang on. So
very cool.
Anything else for you, Shane? Other than, let me say thank you very much for doing what you do in the local scene, man.
Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate it. I appreciate you having me out and, like, all the support. I will be at We Are United is doing a new Sundays at Pops afternoon kind of stuff starting February 28th.
Yeah.
Kind of a local hangout, maybe music playing, and a good little networking kind of, get people hanging out. And I'll be down there, so you can come meet me. You can sign up. We'll try to get something scheduled to get you on the show, maybe. I'll have a table set up.
There you go. You just do your podcast right there and knock it down.
Yeah. And then I'm also hosting the Skyburnt White show on the 26th. And their video shoot that night, so I'll be hanging out. Skyburn White, Krabby Travy, and The Faded Truth are playing at America's Tavern on February 26th.
All right, that's all the time I got for you there, Shane. You're trying to steal my job. I'm just saying. Now, I believe that we have a podcast in the bucket you're going to be putting up here soon. I told you in that little thing we just did, my first band interview was with Switch 3.
Oh, yeah.
And here it is. That's what we're going to end the local show on. The song's called Feeding. Shane, thank you very much for coming in.
Yeah, thank you.
Still local show on 105.7 Point. Man, thanks for hanging.
Boom.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.